City Hall State Affairs Committee will please come to order. Please call the roll.
Representative Keller.
Here.
Representative Vasquez.
Excuse me.
Representative Grunberg. Representative Price Tompkins.
Here.
Representative Tallarico. Representative Stutes.
Here.
Chair Lynn.
I'm here. Thank you very much, and good morning to everybody. We have on the day's State Affairs Committee two items of business, HB 65 and HB 68. And we're going to hear HB 65 first. And so, would the sponsor please come forward, identify yourself, and
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's a pleasure to be here with you. I'm Representative Mike Hawker, District 28, Anchorage.
My name is Julie Lucky. I'm staff for Representative Mike Hawker.
So, Mr. Please, Chairman, we're here today with our second appearance, and we appreciate the opportunity. We have a committee substitute prepared at the request of the last, at the request of the committee from our previous appearance.
And let us interrupt you. Could somebody make a motion to adopt the CS?
Mr. Chair, yeah, I would move CS, House Bill 65, version ECHO, 0070 ECHO is our working copy.
Okay, without objection, we adopt the CS. Please continue.
And thank you, Mr. Chair. Very briefly, the CS before you incorporates the directives of this committee at its last meeting. It incorporates the amendment that was passed by this committee that changed our revised filing date to May 15th from April 30th as the original bill had proposed. And the CS before us incorporates work we've done with the representative vice chair in order to make more clarity and provide better legislative intent and direction to APOC in their ability to grant waivers in the case of filers who have a large client list, such as doctors, lawyers, attorneys, you know, accountants, engineers, from having to disclose the details of that client list when there would be no enhancement of the public good by that disclosure. And we've worked with my staff, Ms. Leckie, has worked with Representative Keller's office in coming up, and as well as legislative legal and the Public Offices Commission, in coming up with language that's acceptable to everyone.
Thank you. Any questions from the committee at this point?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. No question, just a thank you. You know, for your hard work on this, and Julie.
Fine, thank you. I believe we have an amendment. Everybody have a copy of that? Would somebody move the amendment? I mean,
Mr. Chair, I have in front of me an amendment that is labeled LS0070E.1, and if we call it amendment number one, I move amendment number one.
Move any? Anybody object for discussion?
I object for discussion.
Thank you very much. Would you make a brief introduction of it, and then we'll go to Mr. Dufanay at APOC.
And thank you, Mr. Chair. With your permission, I will defer the discussion of the amendment to Ms. Leckie.
Ms. Leckie.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, this amendment was brought to us by APOC.
When did we receive the amendment?
We have been working through the amendment for, I would say, about a week. And the difficulty was we needed to conform the amendment to the current CS. And so that was the delay in getting the amendment to committee members. And I apologize, I know that the amendment only came to you this morning. I have been fully vetting the amendment throughout the process. The difficulty was we had to conform the actual words of the amendment to the CS when it came out, and we didn't have approval on the CS until yesterday.
So it's no surprise at all to the sponsor.
Mr. Chairman, there are no surprises in this amendment.
And thank you. Like to note that Representative Tallarico has not joined us. What's that?
We're all struggling with our ears a little bit.
We got it. Okay. Is Mr. Dufanay in Anchorage online?
Mr. Chair, yes. This is Paul Dufanay, Executive Director of the Public Offices Commission.
Fine, thank you. And you've worked with Reverend Hawker's staff on this amendment?
Mr. Chair, if you're talking about Amendment E.1, yes, I worked with Ms. Lucky on that.
Fine. And before you go any further, I'd like to recognize Representative Grunberg has now joined us. We're talking about, we've moved the bill, Representative Grunberg, and we have Amendment 1 that they've been working on with APA. Okay, would you briefly describe, or in depth if you like, what the amendment is and what it does and how it would assist this bill?
Mr. Chair, this is Paul Dauphiné. I assume you're talking to me.
Yes.
This amendment is looking to do two things. First, looking at page 1, line 23, and the top of page 2, we're looking to bring the electronic filing line down to municipalities with a population of less than 5,000. Some of the larger municipalities have asked that we the APOC staff, see what we can do about having those municipalities electronically, and that's in response to this. This brings the line to 5,000. So larger municipalities over 5,000 would be reporting electronically. The other is bringing the participation of municipalities to a different level, and that is exempting those municipalities with a population of less than 1,000. This would bring the campaign disclosure statutes into alignment with the public official financial disclosure statutes. This difference between the two leads to a fair amount of confusion among the smaller municipalities, where they don't have to file any candidate disclosure reports, but they do have to file public official financial disclosure reports after they're elected. And it leads to a lot of confusion, and these smaller municipalities have difficulty dealing with reporting, not only electronically, but on paper. So we're looking to take the burden off of these smaller municipalities and to bring the two statutes into alignment.
Thank you very much. Does the sponsor agree with what Mr. Dauphiné said?
Mr. Chairman, again, Representative Mike Hawker, we are very happy to accommodate the request of APOC with this change within this legislation.
Okay, any questions or comments from anybody on the committee? Representative Christ Tompkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question for Mr. Dauphiné. I was wondering if you could clarify, if this amendment were to pass, what the two scenarios would be for APOC filings for municipalities smaller than 5,000 and then also municipalities larger than 5,000, what their respective options to file would be, for clarification.
Through the chair, Representative Chris Tompkins. Sir, what would happen for a municipality of over 5,000 if this passes, subject to portions of the statutes which allow exceptions to electronic reporting, those communities would now have their public officials file electronically. From a clerk's perspective, and what the clerks have told me, is they no longer have to keep paper files. They no longer have to hand the paper forms to their public officials, keep the forms, and then send the forms to us. This allows them to access our files and relieves their burden. And that was the impetus from those clerks. For communities smaller than 5,000, they have the option of either filing electronically or on paper. And my understanding, when this was initially passed some time ago, was that smaller communities have more difficulty with internet access, so there's a larger exception for those communities under 5,000. Does that answer your question, sir?
Representative Tompkins.
It does. Thank you. So a clarifying follow-up. is it accurate to say that for communities smaller than 5,000, they still have the choice to file APOC filings the same way communities larger than 5,000 do, if they so choose?
Through the chair, Representative Christ Tompkins, if you mean can they file electronically, yes. But they also have the ability to file by paper under the statute.
Follow up.
Thank you. So for communities larger than 5,000, they already had the ability to file electronically, and now they're mandated to file electronically. Is that sort of the clarification that this amendment brings into law?
Through the chair to Representative Christ Tompkins, yes, sir, that is correct.
Yeah. Ms. Lucky, you have a comment or a question?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Christ Tompkins, through the chair, I think the simplest way to look at the amendment is that for a community under 1,000, they're totally exempt from reporting requirements. However, they can opt back in, and that's why the amendment is so long. For a community 5,000 or fewer...
Mr. Chair, my apologies. I thought I heard 5,000 as the population, not 1,000. I'm sorry.
And then for a community population between 1,000 and 5,000, basically there is no change for that community. For a community over 5,000 population, they would now be required to file electronically unless they meet another exemption in statute.
Population between
1,000
and 5,000.
Who's speaking now?
Yes.
Okay. They would now be required to file electronically. Is he online right now speaking?
No.
That is interference.
That's echo.
Okay, so you have the committee in the other room. Okay, did it answer your question?
I think so. Maybe a question for Ms. Lucky or the sponsor. So it seems as though this actually, for communities between 5,000 and 15,000, takes the option of paper filing off the table. And if that's what communities want, that seems perfectly reasonable. But I guess, is that the intended effect of the amendment?
And Mr. Chairman, Representative Christ Tompkins, for intent of the amendment, I think that Mr. Dauphiné is probably the best person to ask. Since I worked on the mechanics of the amendment, the wording is different from what APOC originally brought to us. I'm happy to talk about the mechanics of the amendment, but I believe that the communities within that range, between 5,000 and 15,000, the communities themselves have brought this concern to APOC, but you probably want to double check with Mr. Dauphiné.
Mr. Dauphiné, do you have any comment or clarification on that? Are you online, sir? Mr. Dauphiné?
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. What Ms. Lucky has noted is absolutely correct. Those communities have come to APOC staff and asked that. There are also opportunities for those communities, if it is too difficult to file electronically, they can file with paper, but this places a more of a requirement to report electronically on those communities between 15,000 and 5,000. As Ms. Lucky stated, communities under 5,000 to 1,000, nothing's really changed for them.
Fine. Reverend Walker.
And thank you, Mr. Chair. Just like the record to reflect that my personal comfort with this amendment as it is proposed is based on Mr. Dauphiné's representation that the affected communities are supportive and came to Alaska Public Offices Commission and asked for this change.
Thank you. Reverend Clyde Tompkins, did you have a comment?
First of all, I'm grateful for the clarification, and I'm also comfortable with the amendment given that assumption.
Thank you very much. Any other questions or comments from anybody on the committee? Anybody else on the line? Anybody in the audience like to testify on this? If not, we'll close public testimony.
Mr. Chair, I would like to remove my objection, please.
And so that amendment number one, I think it is?
Yes.
So
amendment number one.
E-1, yes.
Very good. If not, then we'll close public testimony, bring it to the committee. Any comments or questions from the committee on this bill? If not, Representative Keller?
Thank you,
Mr. I'll entertain the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that CS for House Bill 65, version E, as amended, go from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Thank you very much. Any objection? Moving the bill. If not, the bill moves from committee. Thank you for presenting that to us. Much appreciated. And we'll take it at ease while we do the paperwork.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
We'll now be considering HB 68. Would the sponsor please come forward? And you have the option of testifying from the hot seat there or from your regular committee position.
This works well for me, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Jonathan Christ Tompkins. I represent Southeast Alaska and serve on this committee.
Yeah, move the microphone forward, please.
Absolutely. Is that a little more audible? Today, the State Affairs Committee and House Bill 68 seeks to save the state money and create a more efficient process of distribution and dissemination of public annual reports. And it's should be a familiar bill for Representatives Lynn Keller and Gruenberg, and that similar legislation came before the committee last legislature. This has a few controversial elements that created a big hullabaloo last legislature, not part of the bill, and just focuses on this simple sort of electronic distribution language. And after two conversations with Representative Keller, I think we're actually looking at maybe incorporating those and putting forth a committee substitute for the committee's consideration. And those both were relatively recently, so I guess for today, maybe just the opportunity to introduce it, and we can come back with a CS here shortly.
Yeah, and could you just give a brief overview of the bill as it is?
Yeah. Absolutely. Right now, there are all sorts of state agencies, task forces, commissions, blue ribbon panels, etc. And when the legislature creates those, we often write into statute that they have to create and produce and disseminate an annual report and send it to all of our respective legislative offices and the Office of the Governor and the Chief Clerk and the State Library and all sorts of entities.
All living Americans, okay.
And I think a lot of us can relate to it, and a lot of other entities of state government can relate, that when those reports come from very well-meaning task forces and commissions, and there are literally hundreds of these reports, they often end up in the trash can or the recycling bin. And so this bill basically converts all of that to electronic format, so they're getting distributed electronically, and there's not the cost of printing these reports. And the cost of some of these reports is sometimes per copy in excess of $10 or even $20. Sometimes on the back you'll see this document was printed at X dollar cost per copy.
And now, harkening back to the bill, the previous bill we just heard, what about, I would assume, some of the smaller communities out there may want to have a copy of this, they may not have internet email access. Is that a concern?
It's a good has a provision that allows any interested citizen or community, if for any reason they can't access the internet, to get a printed copy, and so that provision is provided for in the legislation.
Very good. Any questions from Vinny? Reverend Keller? Or comments?
The comment is that I really appreciate you bringing forward the bill. It's a great idea, especially when we're trying to save money. Thank you. And I also am grateful that you have considered working on a few of the things that I brought up. Look forward to the CS.
Thank you.
Okay. And so where are we going at this point? Are we going to get modifications of this? Are you going to be working on a CS?
Yeah, I'll be working with Representative Keller on a CS and hope to have it ready soon.
And what be the main subject of the CS, do you expect?
The CS, I anticipate, will include two amendments to the bill as it currently reads. The first of which is a point Representative Keller brought up yesterday on the House floor when we were talking, and right now in Section 1 of the bill, as it reads with the Alaska Online Public Notice System, we wanted to make sure that, say you've got Commission or Task Force X, and it produces its annual report, and it uploads it online so that anyone can view it. And what Representative Keller pointed out is that if Task Force X puts up its annual report online, but decides to go back and edit it or change some type of content within that report, that there should be language that requires that commissioner task force to disclaim that the report has been edited or revised. If you'll forgive the analogy, kind of like a Wikipedia entry. If someone edits a Wikipedia article, there's a record of edits. So that way, stuff doesn't start magically changing online without any record or documentation. And this is something that we're going to research and consult with the Lieutenant Governor's office and adopt any necessary language to make sure that that is provided for in the bill. The second proposed revision to the bill, which came up this morning just before committee and talking with Representative Keller, would be an amendment or revision that looks at the costs of print copies that might be requested under the bill and make sure that if you have someone living in Aleknikik or I can think of a few people who live in my district way out in the boonies and they want a print copy of a state report, that they're not going to get whacked with a $50 bill or whatever from the state library system for printing it out, and that there is a fair means of making sure that people can still access whatever documents they want from the state library system.
And you think you may have these amendments ready shortly?
I think so, yeah. We'll be, I think there's a few conversations I can foresee with the Lieutenant Governor's office, which oversees the online public notice system, with the state library system looking into the of print copy requests, which Representative Keller was asking, and then working with Representative Keller on all those different amendments and revisions.
Very good. I have two people online for questions only. I see they were.
They're in the room.
What's that? Or in the room? Okay, I have Thibodeau, I guess it is, and I can't get rid of the next one. Any comments? Anybody in the audience like to testify before we continue? Anybody online? I'm going to keep public testimony open. And at the pleasure of the committee, I would hold this bill until we get the amendments back that we can look at actually in print. Any questions or comments from anybody on the committee? Okay, and so we're going to hold this bill, and the next man, I'd like to thank you for bringing the bill forward. It sounds like a good one. Probably be better after the proposed amendment. And so I'm holding the bill, and public testimony is still open until a future meeting, which will be as soon as possible. We're still, as far as the next committee meeting, State Affairs, I'm advised that we're still working on the agenda for this coming Thursday. Any other business to come before the committee? If not, thank you all for being here. We are adjourned.